The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Turn with me now to the book of Isaiah. Turn with me now to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 33. The book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 33. If you're physically able to stand, those of you who are here in the sanctuary, we're going to ask that you do so. Here we stand in honor of the word of God. So for those of you online, you're welcome to stand with us. We stand in honor of the word of God. Isaiah chapter 33. I'm only going to read one verse today, verse 6. And as always, I always encourage you. I want you to make sure that you keep your Bibles open. I want to make sure that you keep your app open. Amen. To follow along, not just in the word of God, but when there are cross-reference scriptures made, you want to make sure that you are able to follow along. You also want to have something to be able to take notes with, something to be able to take a note with. I just do believe that something just might be said or done that will prick your heart or to convict you in your mind. The Bible says that he that hath an ear hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. And I declare that I'm doing the best that I can to stand here under the unction of the Holy Spirit. But not only just take the note down for yourself. Remember, Psalm 107:2 says that the redeemed of the Lord ought to say so. Come on, somebody. So even if it's just an amen or a hallelujah or a thank you, Jesus, even online, you can make sure to let somebody know that I hear the Lord speaking to me right now. Even in our Sunday school hour, I always challenge them, regardless of the text, I always challenge them and make them to ask themselves a question. What is the Lord saying to me? What is the Lord saying about me? And what is the Lord desiring to say through me according to his word? Amen. Isaiah chapter 33. Isaiah chapter 33. I'll be reading the verse 6 this morning or today. I'll be reading from the Amplified Bible. And it says, and he will be the security and stability of your times, a treasure of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is your treasure. So on this fourth Sunday of July, July the 26th, as we continue to press our way, and for some of you, you're counting, already counting down through the year, through this trying year. As a matter of fact, on next Sunday, we'll already be in the month of August. But with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to consider the subject, only God provides assurance and security. Only God provides assurance and security. Before you take your seat, we want to make sure that we pray together. We pray that prayer of unity that we've been praying each week. So repeat these words after me. Father, open my eyes so I can see your truth. Open my ears so I can hear your voice. Open my mind so I can understand your word. And open my heart so that I may receive all that you have for me, that is for me. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Only God provides assurance and stability. My brothers and my sisters, 2020 is going to go down in the history books for a lot of reasons and for a lot of things. It will, of course, be the year of the great pandemic, commonly called COVID-19 or the coronavirus. Not to mention the 2020 election, which looms in the very near future. As a matter of fact, it is 100 days from today. Amen. But not only that, this year is also going to be known as the year of shortages. And there have been all kinds of shortages. Let's name a few. You know some, including the number one shortage, toilet paper. Come on, somebody. Paper towels, disinfectant wipes, painkillers, sedatives. Wait a minute. Here's one. Rice. Come on, somebody. Pasta. Meat of all kinds, Clorox, Lysol, alcohol, hand sanitizer, face mask, gloves, and wait a minute, here's one to add to the list, coins. Come on, somebody. not only those things of just those lighter of consequence, of course, if you've watched the news, there have also been a shortage of civility, good old common sense, and moral values. When we first heard of this worldwide pandemic, we saw the world beginning to come together. We were unified. We saw signs all over the internet and all over the highway saying, "We're all in this together." There was a spirit of cooperation for the sake of our health and for everyone else around us. But you got to understand, unity, if you're taking notes, write this down. Unity without the presence of God is short-lived. Because before long, there were accusations, feelings of anger and mistrust, shaming, and basically a nation and a world that has come unhinged. Thus, the coronavirus pandemic is yet another indicator of a world so in need of Jesus that we literally cannot function without him. Our only hope for the chaos that we are seeing and experiencing is Jesus Christ. Because millions of people have been infected with this disease, thousands have actually gotten sick and even died from the virus, it is reasonable to be concerned for our safety. Some are actually deeply worried, even fearful. But my brothers and my sisters, our hope is not in humanity's solutions. Thus, the Holy Spirit is having me to stand here today, to stand here tall and boldly, to deliver a message of true hope, to remind us all that only God provides assurance and security. One of the first points I want to raise for this message is, number one, we are not as strong as we thought. Come on, somebody. There's a late singer and songwriter. His name is Rich Mullins. If you write it down, Google him, Rich Mullins. And I believe he got it right in the title and chorus of his song released nearly 25 years ago. And it was titled, "We Are Not As Strong As We Think We Are." Americans have lived for decades with convenience, luxury, perceived strength, and an overall sense of world peace. But then a microscopic virus, a biological warfare of sorts, wreaked havoc on our health, our economy, and our peace of mind. Never have we been stripped so completely of our confidence, our conveniences, our capabilities, our cool, calm, and collectiveness before now. And this anxiety is not only found in the world, but guess what? It's actually also found in the body of Christ. Christians also appear to be struggling. And I don't mean to be negative, but maybe we as Christ followers ought to be the first ones to humbly admit, the same way the Apostle Paul did in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 when he had a situation and he went to God three times and he asked God to remove a thorn that was in his side. And you remember what God replied to him. You remember what his response was. He said that my grace is sufficient unto thee. Well, to paraphrase that, after God spoke to him, I thought about Paul and I put that in the first person. And I believe we could all say ourselves that his grace, talking about God, his grace is sufficient for me. For his power is now made perfect in my weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, watch this, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, come on somebody, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties, for when I'm weak, then am I strong. Second point I want to raise for the message in the text is, only God can give us the peace that we need. We are an anxious, fearful, and worrisome species. It's natural for us to worry when we can't see a clear or somewhat certain future. Yet the scriptures tell us in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, the New Living Translation, it says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." Listen, let me just tell somebody, I don't know who I'm talking to, whether here or online, but if you're trying to figure all of this out, if you're trying to create your own sense of peace and security, then I need to let you know right now that you are fighting an uphill battle. Only God can give you and can give me a peace that comes from knowing that none of this has taken God by surprise. The God that I serve and the God that you serve and the God that we serve is sovereign. And when everything seems to be out of control, we can not only look to, we can rest in the only one who is really, truly in control. This brings me to another point in the message. Only God knows our future. We have learned to rely on predictions, trusting in the weather forecast, the economic forecast, the stock market trends, which always bounce back, at least that's what they tell us, come on somebody, the rising and dropping of interest rates, political polls, even predictions of coming natural disasters like hurricanes. But our predictions are guesses at best. We still do not know how to predict the future. We still can get blindsided by a storm that wasn't forecasted. Have you ever caught yourself walking outside without your umbrella? It's raining, and we got the nerve to say, they didn't say it was going to rain today. Because we put so much trust and faith in what folk tell us because they have made themselves the ones who can tell us what the future is going to look like. A year ago, even 6 months ago, no one could have predicted the fact that we would have a global pandemic, a ban on international travel, a national and global lockdown, and a sudden plummet in the economy. No one could have predicted the government would prohibit gatherings of more than 10 people at a time, preventing graduation ceremonies, weddings, funerals, and every type of religious service in the country. And yet the Bible tells me and it tells us that God knows the plans that he has for us. And those plans, at least according to Jeremiah 29 and 11, are plans for peace, plans for well-being, not for disaster, but to give you a future and hope. And I don't know about you, but I'm just being honest when I say I need that hope right now. Come on, somebody. And I cannot imagine a tomorrow without the present, nor the promises of God. There is much peace and certainty in being able to say, God, no matter what happens, you hold my future securely in your hands. That is not only a promise that I need to keep repeating to myself, you need to repeat to yourself, but I believe, Deacon Griffith, that the world at large needs that kind of hope right now. This brings me to another point I can pull from this text. We can't fully protect ourselves. Listen, Let's not, I heard it earlier this morning, I hear it all the time. Let's not be fooled by conspiracy theorists or for us to be in denial about the fact that this virus is real. And whether or not you have been personally affected is not the point. The virus is real. Listen, even healthy people who wash their hands regularly, wear a mask, and trying to distance themselves are still being infected. That means no matter what we do, regardless of that, regardless of everything that we should do responsibly to stay healthy, ultimately, God is in control of our health and our well-being. God is the only one who can fully insulate us from an invisible contagion all around us. David said in Psalm 4, verse 8, he says, I will lie down and sleep in peace for you alone, O Lord. Make me dwell in safety. Listen, wash your hands. When you go out, mask up. Make sure that you distance yourself appropriately. But in order for you to be able to lay down and sleep peacefully at night, you need to be able to say, like David said in Psalm 4:8, I will lie down and sleep in peace for you alone, O Lord. Make me dwell in safety. While we may be looking to a political administration, the Center for Disease Control, or the finest medical experts in the world to come up with a vaccine, God is the only one who can give us the assurance that we are really, truly safe. Which brings me to another point that the Holy Spirit gave me, that only God can lead us in a mess like this. Come on, somebody. Huh? Come on, somebody. I mean, in the past few months, we've witnessed countless Americans trying to travel to different states, seeking to flee maybe from their own states, shelter-in-place mandates. Come on, somebody. I know people, maybe I'm talking to some of you right now. I know some people desiring to leave the country altogether. Come on, somebody. Until the country brings this chaos under control. But truly, only God has the answers. Only He, watch this, can govern our hearts and our world in truth and justice. Only God can get us out of this mess, or if He doesn't get us completely out, at least He can guide us through. We've grown accustomed, I don't mean any harm, but we've grown accustomed to doing our own thing. And so when the government says shelter in place, when we get a mandate that says keep 6 feet apart and wear a face covering, that flies in the face of what we feel are our rights. We either mistrust leadership altogether, believing this is a plot to strip us of our personal rights, or we follow blindly, thinking that because someone is in position of authority, then guess what? They must know what is best for us. Jesus, his heart broke as he saw human beings, according to Matthew 9 and 36, confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And just like the people of Jesus' day, we are as confused and seemingly as helpless during these times. We're willing to follow whoever, whenever, that offers a chance of some kind of hope or change. Never have we needed to listen for God's voice as much as we do right now. Words like penning personal words of prayer and meditation. God, what are you saying to the church during this time? Those are things that I think about myself personally. What are you saying to your children? What are you saying to your disciples, your followers? God, what are you wanting us to do differently so that we can shine your light in this darkness? God, when do we listen to you and not just follow blindly listening to the government? The government has changes its standards almost daily and weekly. And God says, I never change. But then I'm not saying not to follow the government or the leadership. So on the one hand, I'm saying, when do we listen to you, Lord, and not the government? But when do we have to submit ourselves to the leadership, watch this, and simply be a good example of a good citizen? Listen, fact of the matter is, we need discernment. We need clarity in a time that can be confusing and fearful. The bottom line is, we need the truth. The truth is Jesus. So to say that we need the truth is to say, Sister Comfort, that we need Jesus. Jesus simply said about himself, John chapter 14, verse 6, he said, I am the way, do I have any Bible readers? The truth and the life. Which brings me to a final point that the Holy Spirit gave me from this message, from this text, and that is, living for the temporary doesn't cut it anymore. Living for the temporary doesn't cut it anymore. As Americans in particular, we have put too much stock in our leaders, in our comforts, and our securities here on earth. Even as believers, we have grown comfortable into life on earth. Guess what? Wasn't comfortable anymore. Believe that most Americans, whether you're saved or not saved, have found themselves at a breaking point recently when they realized that they had enjoyed what we felt to be was a great economy. We had thriving businesses, many luxuries, comforts, and conveniences of living in the most prosperous nation on earth. Then guess what? It was as if we saw it all go to pot in a few days, weeks, and months. Civil unrest, racial tensions, political divisiveness, hate, anger, and unrest now abound daily. And I too stand before you today, not just you, but even those of you online. I stand before you and I will admit that not unlike many, maybe even some of you who are here or even wherever you are under the sound of my voice, have found myself saying, Lord, we need you to come and we need you to come quickly. But then the Holy Spirit convicted me, Sister Monique, because even when things have gotten tough, even when things, the pressure points have come, and I said, Lord, we need you, and we need you now. Come quickly. It was as if the Holy Spirit convicted me because I realized why I have been so affected by everything that's going on around me. And the conviction was, is that I had lost my view of my eternal reward in heaven. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 advises us, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 26 in the New Living Translation, in reference to Moses' desire to follow and to trust in God by faith, it says, he thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to his great reward. You see, too many of us, admittedly, from the pulpit to the door, wherever you might be, too many of us are still wrapped up in the treasures of Egypt. Instead of us looking ahead to our great reward, we got folk trying to figure out, why in the world did it have to come to this? I believe that life was better before COVID-19, and that means we have lost our view. Because God does not want us looking back. He wants us looking ahead. God said, I'm not looking even at your past sins. The devil does that. The devil will remind you of where you had once fallen. He says, fix your mind on things above. So while we're fussing about everything we lost, God has said, while you are trying to pick that stuff up, don't get lost yourself. Because God said, I'm not lost. And even when you think you are, I know exactly where you are. Watch this. Mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And wait a minute. Here's another one. Matthew 6, verse 30, 33. Here's from the Message translation. It's a familiar passage, but I love the way the Message translates it. Matthew 6, 30 and 33, it says, if God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never even seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here, watch this, I'm in the text message translation. What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond, watch this, to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things. But you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. If you can't say amen, say ouch. This world, its comforts, its conveniences will pass away. And therefore, we need God. But not only that, we need an eternal mindset of the glorious riches that await us as heirs of Christ. So listen, as I get ready to close this message and this text, only God provides assurance and security. Listen, I recognize and I'm sensitive to the fact that there are a whole lot of people who have felt isolated during these times. As a matter of fact, I'm talking to somebody who still does right now. And if you felt like that you were alone, or maybe you're feeling like you are alone right now, oh, I understand. That can be debilitating, it can be fearful, but it can also be depressing. But God's word says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. Scripture assures us in Psalm 139, 7 through 12. When you have time, go read it. Psalm 139, 7 through 12, it assures that, there is no place that we can go where God's presence will not follow. The Lord goes before us, walks alongside us, but he also has our backs. Again, here on our text, it says, and he will be the security and stability of your times, a treasure of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is your treasure. During these uncertain, unstable times, he is our sure foundation. And while we long for a national or a world leader to give us the assurance that this somehow, someday, will go away, and we can actually return to a life of what we believe to be quote-unquote normal, you need to know that only God knows the future. And God will guide us through whatever it is that we are going through. That, my brothers and sisters, is assurance. That, my brothers and sisters, is security. And that is ultimately what we need. Come on, choir. During uncertain times, knowing that only God can provide. No matter what you're going through, what you're feeling, what you're suffering with, what you're suffering through. And even if it's not you, the Bible says that we weep with those, we rejoice with those who rejoice, but we weep with those who weep. And there are many of people that we know who are weeping right now. People dealing with a whole lot of this. And it's not just the fact that we've lost a loss of life, it's sometimes a loss of livelihood. Right now, it seems that there is a struggle between whether or not we care enough for our children to get their education or to keep them healthy. And this has actually become a political debate. And God has said, suffer not the little children to come unto me. So we got to make sure, as much as we want our children to get educated, we got to make sure we're praying over them regardless of where they are. We got to make sure that we're asking God to be a hedge of protection around them regardless of where we are. Listen, you're not going to pray for your son or daughter anymore for the coronavirus now than you did before. Hopefully you know that no matter where they've been, you make sure you pray for your child. Because our children are gifts from God. We pray for our teachers and our administrators. Continue to pray for our frontline healthcare workers, all of those who are essential workers. And I say that term sensitively because just because you have to go to work, some folk don't want to be essential. Come on, somebody. But we thank God for all of the essential workers. But wait a minute. But that does not mean that just because you don't have to go in, that makes you any less essential. Because all of us are essential in God's eyes. And I just believe that he has us here for a reason and for a purpose. We just have to realize that while we're still trying to figure out what that purpose might be, don't dismiss the fact that regardless, the Bible says, whether you eat or drink, you do it to the glory of God. Has God been glorified in the things you've been talking about this week? Has God been glorified in the things that you've been thinking about this week? Has God been glorified in the things that you desire this week? Has God been glorified in the things that you've done just this week? Whether your answer is yes or no, that's why we thank God for grace and mercy. We need both. Grace, blessing us with unmerited favor, but mercy, not giving us what we deserve. And I thank God, I don't know about you, but I thank God that he does not deal with us according to our sins. And not just sins of commission, sins of even omission. Because there's some stuff that we think about. God can know the thoughts of our minds. So thank you, Lord, that we're still here. And we're not here because we've been so good. We're not here because we've done everything right, because we've dotted every I or crossed every T. We're here because God has allowed our lives to roll on for yet a little while longer. And we say sensitively to those of you who have had loved ones gone home to glory, we thank God for their lives, for their legacies. And we continue to pray that God will mend your broken heart or even your broken spirit. But let's not get so wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up in the affairs of this world. He's saying he handle it, yes, because there's some stuff you just got to face to fix. But recognize that just because you face it, that doesn't mean that God is leaving it all up to you to fix. That's just some stuff that God has said, I got it. Your job is not to fix folk. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Your job is to rest in the fact that only God provides assurance and security. To God be the glory. To God be the praise.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.